at the Duke University hospitals in Raleigh and Durham. There was quite a mix-up back in 2004. Maintenance workers drained hydraulic fluid from elevators into empty detergent drums, but then didn't get rid of the drums. Through a strange series of events, the drums were mistakenly redistributed to people who clean surgical instruments. It took 2 months and 3,800 surgeries before anybody figured out something was wrong. Now, washing instruments in hydraulic fluid is not an effective means of sterilization. And of course, the biggest question was, what kind of damage had been done to patients? Well, the hospital's head honcho assured the public, we care about our patients, and no doubt they do. But if their instruments weren't safe, they were a threat to their patients, no matter how much they cared. This thing may be a picture of the church in America. If we are careless about holiness, I mean, we may care about people, but we're a danger to others nonetheless if we lack holiness. And that statement may hit you like a snowflake on a sunny 80-degree July day. It makes no sense, because holiness for many is just not on the radar screen. Lord, make me holy is most likely not on our prayer lists. Holiness may be an afterthought. Yeah, you know, I want to be good, but not too good. After all, I want to stick out as weird. But God is not joking when he commands, be holy, for I am holy. Well, what does it mean to be holy? Why is it so important to be holy? Let's consider this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Why be holy? Why care about holiness? Well, big reason, because God commands it. Be holy because I am holy. But what is holiness? You know, holiness can carry a negative association in our day. We may think of some uppity person, you know, holier than thou, looking down at us. We use holy, or we think of holiness as those who are self-righteous, smug, distant. Some think of holiness as a checklist of behaviors. You know, go to church, read the Bible, pray, don't sin too much, live a clean and boring life. But that's not biblical holiness. Being holy means being set apart, but to what end? To reflect the character of God. We are to be set apart from the world for God, that we may put his character on display to the world in how we live and speak and act. You know, Peter says, it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. And he's quoting there from Leviticus 19, verse 2. Leviticus 19, verse 2. Leviticus 19 is sometimes called the holiness code. It's where God lines out aspects of a holy life. Well, guess what the first thing God states about being holy? I mean, I don't have 10 bucks, but I would give 10 bucks to anybody who could guess what comes first in the list of here's what a holy life looks like. Anybody guess? Here's what it is from Leviticus 19:2. You shall be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. Moms get first billing in the holiness code. And obviously children are in mind. And kids, you reflect the holy character of God himself when you show respect and honor and love to your moms and dads. How so? Because God respects, honors, and loves us. And as you do that in your home, you are reflecting his character. That is holiness. Leviticus 19 goes on to talk about caring for the poor of the land. Not stealing or dealing falsely, but being people of truth. God says, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Don't curse a deaf person. I mean, that's just mean. God's calling us to be kind to the needy. Why? Because he is. God says, holiness is not hating your brother in your heart or getting revenge or bearing a grudge. But it is loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Holiness involves proper sexual relationships that respect our bodies and the bodies of others. Why? Because this is who our God is. This is what he is like and how he relates to us with love, respect, kindness, and purity. And we are to put his character on display in our actions now. Do you know the number one reason why Muslims convert to Christianity? In a survey of 750 Muslims representing 50 ethnic groups and 30 different countries, all who had converted to Christ, the number one reason they converted was not because they had had dreams about Jesus. That was sixth on the list. The number one reason was Christians who practiced what they preached. Second reason, Christians appeared to have loving marriages in which women were treated as equals. And the third reason, Christian-to-Christian violence was less prominent than Muslim-to-Muslim violence. These top three reasons all have to do with holiness, reflecting God's character in our relationships with our families and with one another. Perhaps instead of praying that God would send Muslims dreams, we ought to pray, God, send them holy people who practice what they preach, who reflect in their living the character of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Holiness matters in making God known to the world. We'll contrast holiness with what Peter says that we're not to be conformed to, the passions of our former ignorance. That is just basically just it's living like everybody else. It's doing what feels good, giving in to our pride, our anger, our greed, our selfishness, our lust. Well, holiness battles against these because our flesh conspires to treat God's holiness as a wet blanket. Author Gary Thomas tells about a friend of his who was on a business trip working with a partner company. And after the sessions back at the hotel, an attractive young woman knocked on his door. And when he opened, she just pushed through and walked right into his room. And he said, well, you can't be here. Why not? She said teasingly. Are you scared? And she started acting seductively, making it very clear that she was making herself available to him. Well, he explained he was a follower of Jesus, and what she was suggesting was it would be wrong before God. Well, eventually she left. Now, this man's a Christian, but he's also a human being. And he admitted he didn't sleep very well the rest of that night. In fact, he didn't sleep at all. He couldn't get this woman out of his mind. Although, thankfully, he hadn't fallen. He was exhausted from being so provoked and so attracted. 2 months later, he was back in the same city working with the same partner company when this same young woman approached him and pulled him aside and said, "We have to talk." Well, this man's heart sank, fearing the worst. But she said, "I can't thank you enough for being the first man who truly cared about me." And she opened up about abuse in her life and how it had led to being promiscuous ever since her teen years. It's how she kept reliving those moments of her deepest hurt. She said, "No man had ever been willing to walk away from my advances until you." And then she concluded, "I'm back in church. I need to get my life back together. I realized after our encounter how messed up I had become and how much I needed the Lord. Thank you." Pride, anger, greed, selfishness, lust. The passions of our flesh rage against God's character. We feel it, and holiness calls us to battle it. Now, somebody might say, "Well, yeah, but we don't want to be so holy that sinners are repelled. I mean, we need to relate to others in order to win them to Christ." And so instead of holiness, some think that being cool is what we need. But the extent to which somebody is attracted to our coolness is the extent that they're attracted to us. The extent that they are attracted to our holiness is the extent that they are attracted to Jesus. And Jesus himself hung out with some very different people that others wrote off as sinners, but Jesus didn't relate to them by being cool. He loved them with the genuine, holy love of God, and that's what drew them to God. You're trying to attract others to God by being cool is like cleaning surgical instruments with hydraulic fluid. We may care, but it's dangerous because in the end, we only end up attracting people to ourselves. We are to put on display the genuine, gracious, holy, pure love of God in our conduct. That is what draws others to the Lord. Be holy, for I am holy. But how do we get there? I mean, what's the way to holiness? Well, there are three things we see here that Peter writes about, and we might put them this way: set your hope, treasure your identity, and consider the cost. First, set your hope, verse 13. "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So, preparing our minds for action. Interesting, holiness begins in the mind. What Peter here says literally is girding up the loins of your mind. We might say roll up your sleeves, but it's a battle image here, actually. Soldiers wore these long robes, think of these choir members up here, and if you have to run down the aisle for something, you got to take that robe and tuck it up in your belt. Well, that's what soldiers did to free their legs so they wouldn't become entangled as they were in battle. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober-minded. What Peter is saying here is, look, instead of being all tangled up and intoxicated with the concerns and pleasures of this life, we are to set our hope fully on the grace to be revealed. Fully. We are so given to partial hope. We hope in God and his grace, heaven and all the good it'll bring someday. But it's a partial hope. I mean, for making it today, now in the real world, we set our hope on who the next president will be. Or on the person who lies next to us in bed every night. Or the person with smarts, ability, talents that we value. We hope in circumstances, we hope in our job, we hope in money in the bank, we hope in our workout, we hope in our ability to keep the aging process at bay. And with all our hopes set only partially on the grace to come, we end up being people who are full of fear. You know, Peter talks, verse 17, about conducting ourselves with fear, but we fear the wrong things. We don't fear God. We fear people and things in this world. Why do we fear the shifting sands of politics when an eternal kingdom is present and is coming fully in Jesus and will overtake this world? Why do we fear tumbling economies when our God is an eternal rock and refuge for us? Why do we fear discouraging circumstances with a God who has overriding governance of all things for our good? We are so given to partial hope. We put our hope for security and happiness in getting power and control and comfort and acceptance from this world. But my brothers and sisters, we do not need what this world gives us because God gives this to us. We are bearers of a magnificent hope. We have an inheritance that cannot fade, spoil, or rot. And in time, Jesus will deliver it. In time, Jesus will bring the fullness of his glory and salvation. And in that day, the greatest joys and comforts and treasures of this life, they're going to seem like some cold, boring, gray day in comparison. Well, holiness comes from setting our hope fully on what is coming our way in Jesus. We become like the runner who's leaning in at the tape, at the finish line. See, we see the end, we see the goal, and we live in the light of it. We're leaning into godly lives for the glory of God, and that will lead to holiness. Second, the way to holiness, or to grow in holiness, is to treasure our identity. Peter speaks, verse 14, about being obedient children. Who are not conformed to the passions of our former ignorance. Verse 17, he says, if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Holiness is not a list of do's and don'ts. Holiness is relational, child to father. And perhaps a reason we flag in holiness is because we fail to live out of our identity as children of our Heavenly Father. When you wake up in the morning, what is the voice that you turn to first to tell you who you are? Your cell phone? Your computer? Facebook? The news? Everything you got to do that day? God's word. Social media is absolutely discipling us. And we so quickly turn to it and allow it to tell us who we are in our needs, our identity, what we should be like. And listening to these voices, we find it just difficult to believe and live out of our true identity as children with our Heavenly Father. Somehow this spiritual stuff just seems distant and fuzzy compared with what our screens are telling us about ourselves. And so we've got to cultivate the spiritual discipline of our relationship with God, our Father. I mean, every day this week, if only for 5 minutes, start your day sitting in the joy and treasuring this, that the living God of the universe calls you his child and gives himself to you as your Heavenly Father. Let that be the voice that tells you who you are, and then frame your day in the light of that. And that God judges, our Father judges with impartiality, tells us that he cares about how we live. We cannot presume on God that he doesn't care what I do. No, he does. Why? Because he's a father. He loves us. He loves his children. You think about the child-father relationship with God. You know, what kid, now teenagers get all twisted up being cool, but what little kid doesn't love his parents and want to be like mom or dad? I mean, little kids dress up like mom and dad. They play house like mom and dad. As you own who you really are, a child of God, and marvel at the goodness of your heavenly Father, you will want to be like him. Like Father, like Son, as the saying goes. And seeking to be like him is going to put you on a path to holiness. Set your hope fully on the grace to be revealed. Treasure your identity as the Father's child. But third, consider the cost. And not the cost to you, the cost to Jesus Christ. You were ransomed from the futile way of life you inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things like gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. How interesting, gold and silver are made to look like fruit left too long on the counter. Just rotten things. But Jesus rescued you and me by his blood, that is his death. And he rescued us from the futile way of life inherited from our forefathers. Now that almost sounds like an insult, doesn't it? Like it's a dig on our families. But we have all inherited futile things from our families. Yours may have been the sarcastic family, or the self-reliant, pull yourself up by the bootstraps family, or money solves everything family. You may have inherited anger from your family. There are bitter families, broken families, alcoholic families, families that communicate you will never amount to anything, and families that said you are better than everybody else. And the sin of our families feels more normal to us than holiness. And in that place, we meet Jesus Christ. And we are told that before there was ever even the command, let there be light, Genesis 1, there was Jesus Christ. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. That means Jesus was not plan B. He was chosen and he was appointed and then made manifest in time for your sake. Your sake. And by his precious blood poured out in death, he has ransomed you and me from inheritances that could not save our souls. It cost Jesus everything. Have you and me as his. You know, the only proper response to that is, thank you, Jesus. And now here I am. Lord, use my life whatever way you would to show what? Your character, your holiness, the beauty of your grace and love and mercy. Let it be on display through me. That is holiness. A Christian without holiness is no Christian at all, really. Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And we're like hydraulic fluid in a cleaning barrel that does no one any good. In response to God's word here this week, I would encourage you to take some time asking God to make you holy by moving you away from partial hope. And to help you understand what it means to set your hope fully on the grace that is coming your way in Jesus Christ, and that grace that has already met you in Jesus Christ and made you to be a child of God at complete cost of the life of Christ. Pray for yourself. Pray for this church that we would be marked by holiness, that our lives would put on display the character of our holy, gracious, pure, loving God. Amen.